On this episode of Newt's World, I have been looking very closely at the issue of unemployment fraud during the pandemic, both in Washington State, where it's about a $600 million problem involving apparently largely Nigerian cyber criminals who have filed 122,000 applications using stolen identities. And they've gotten about $600 million, which I thought was a big number, until I turned to our largest state, California. And it turned out that the CARES Act, which President Trump signed into law on March 27th of 2020, provided a lot of extra federal funding to states to help people who are unemployed during the lockdowns. By May 14th, the U.S. Secret Service issued an alert entitled, quote, "Massive Fraud Against State Unemployment Insurance Programs." By January 2021, the California State Auditor had identified that at least $11.4 billion had been taken from the California Unemployment Insurance Program, but the estimates now are even higher. In fact, many experts estimate the fraud could be as high as $31 billion, an unbelievable amount of taxpayer money that was stolen and, more importantly, did not get to the people who needed it most. The citizens of California were unemployed due to the pandemic. So I really wanted to have a better sense of how fraud on this scale could have happened. And I'm really pleased to introduce my guest. McGregor Scott currently serves as the United States Attorney for the Eastern District of California. McGregor, thank you for joining me. Can we start at the beginning of all this? How did a fraud of this magnitude take place in California?
Well, it's my pleasure to join you. Thank you. Now, I should point out that in California, we refer to this as EDD, because that's the state agency which handles unemployment insurance. By shorthand, I will refer to this as EDD fraud, at least with respect to the state of California. The next point I would make is that it's not as though EDD fraud just happened as a result of the pandemic. This office has been prosecuting EDD fraud for the last several years, so it's nothing new. The second point is that the California system has simply not kept up. And a great analogy is that the state unemployment system in California, you can analogize it to an antiquated bridge that had not kept up with population, technology, all these things. And over the course of years, the engineers would report that the bridge is no longer sufficient, but senior leadership in the state chose to ignore that and did not take simple measures to update the system to prevent fraud of this scale. One example would be that, unlike 35 other states in the United States, California, prior to the present time, did not cross-reference unemployment insurance applications against the prisoner database. So that was an open door going into this. There was a system that was put into place a few years ago, funded by the federal government, that accelerated the ability of the state to check the legitimacy of applications. The system itself was paid by the feds. But after a short period of time, the state decided they didn't have enough money to maintain the operational expenses on an ongoing basis, so they shut it down. So this is just a couple of examples of the kinds of things that the state of California has manifestly failed to do. And crooks are crooks. They're smart. They're sophisticated. They see a soft underbelly, and they go. And it did not take very long in the spring this year for the word to get out. And perhaps the way that manifested it most directly was in the state prison system, where we have example after example of inmates who figured this out and applying for unemployment insurance and getting it. So that's at one level. The next level is obviously the international crime rings, the Nigerian fraud schemes that you mentioned earlier. This is like robbing Fort Knox, and there's no guards. And they manifested, took advantage of it. And the other thing was, I think there was a state of mind at the state, despite the warnings that came, you referenced the one from the Secret Service, there were also multiple warnings put out by the Federal Department of Labor about the fraud that was going and the danger of fraud but yet the state adopted this position that we're just simply going to push the money out and we'll worry about it later. So it was a confluence of events which led us to this. There is incompetence at an almost biblical scale in terms of the historical operations of EDD here in California. And then we had this confluence of the global pandemic and this federal money coming out. And the final point I would make, and I think it's an important one to make, and you can appreciate this in the positions you've held in your life, people need to understand that this money, the federal government provides the money to the states, but it's the responsibility of the states to accept applications, process for approval, and actually provide the money. This is the feds fund it, the states operate it, and we need to keep sight on that as we look at this manifest fraud that's taking place in California.
When you look at all this, how does word spread? You know, somebody figures out, aha, I can break through, but then the word must have spread unbelievably fast.
Well, it did, specifically in the prison system where you've got, you know, a highly dense, highly concentrated population of people who are in prison for a reason, starting with that premise, and they figure it out and word spreads. And by way of example, one case that we have indicted out of this office from the principal women's prison here in the state of California, the Central Valley, two women who were serving time together. One of them was paroled, so she's out on the outside. And the one who's still in custody is acquiring names, social security numbers, and dates of birth of other inmates. And then she passes those to the woman who's on the outside by email and phone calls. And the woman on the outside submits all the applications, gets the money, and off they run. So that's just one example of how this manifested itself in the state prison system.
Is it legal in California for prisoners in prison to get unemployment compensation?
Absolutely not, sir. No way, shape, or form.
That's a knowable group. Why didn't the employment office simply match up the computer files and identify the prisoners?
Because unlike 35 other states in the country, California did not do that. There was a stated policy position that the state prison system could not share social security numbers with EDD for reasons which are not readily apparent, but that was the policy that was adopted. That policy has, upon the advice of the state attorney general, has since been rescinded. And now here in recent weeks and months, the state prison system is now in fact sharing social security numbers with EDD to prevent exactly what we're talking about right now. But the door was wide open because of a self-imposed restriction put in place by the state for reasons which are not obvious.
So somebody also said that there was one case where some 1,700 checks went to the same address.
That is correct, yes.
Well, and there was no internal control that said, you know, I mean, maybe the first three or four or five, but it's at 1,700, you would have thought somebody would have noticed.
One would hope. And the lack of any sort of quality control going into this is mind-boggling. And I will give you another example. We are prosecuting a case involving the originators were Nigerian fraudsters. They submitted an application to the state of California for unemployment insurance in the name of Dianne Feinstein. Perhaps you've heard that name. That application was one of over 100 that were sent to the residence of a woman here in a suburb of Sacramento, and the state approved that payment. So unemployment insurance was issued by the state of California in the name of Dianne Feinstein.
So and it was all automatic, or was there actually a human being in the loop?
I don't know the answer to that. I'm not privy to the inside baseball on how that all works. Common sense tells me it's got to be automated. I would certainly hope that there is a human being saying, oh, Dianne Feinstein, check. But I don't know the answer to that.
We are now at the mercy of one-party control and an agenda driven by tax and spend economics. I don't need to get into the social ramifications, but fiscally, expect compounded growth of our national debt and the systematic devaluation of the U.S. dollar. So there is really only one question. What are you doing right now to protect your savings and your retirement? Your answer? Birch Gold Group. Birch Gold Group will help you diversify a portion of your savings. An IRA or eligible 401k into an IRA backed by gold and silver. They are the premier precious metals IRA company in America with an A+ Better Business Bureau rating, countless 5-star reviews, and thousands of satisfied customers. There's a tidal wave of inflation coming. Gold is your hedge. Text NEWT to 474747 for your free information kit on Precious Metals IRA or to speak with a Birch Gold representative today. Time is running out, but you can protect your savings now. Text NEWT to 474747. In Washington State, the Nigerians seem to be the primary actors. And apparently there's an entire cybercrime network in Nigeria that makes an amazing amount of money out of ripping off the rest of the world. To what extent were Nigerians playing in California?
They were definitely a significant part of it, but they were only one piece of it because we've got all the different blocks. We've got the prisons and the jails. We've got the international crime rings, and it's not just the Nigerians, there are Eastern European ones, Russian ones as well. And then there's a third bucket that I refer to as the grifters. And these are people who have, you know, longstanding criminal records for all the various forms of fraud that you could think of, who figured this one out as well. So those are the three broad buckets that I would put it into.
If something like $31 billion has been paid out illegally, how practical is it to try to get that money back?
It's a great question, and that is something that we are struggling with, in all candor, because in large measure, the money's gone. I can tell you, by way of example, earlier in January, we served search warrants at a residence here in Sacramento at a location where hundreds of thousands of dollars in unemployment insurance debit cards were sent, and in that search warrant, we recovered $7,000 in a laundry basket. So of all that hundreds of thousands, we were able to recover seven. So it's not going to be much, I'm afraid, at the end of the day.
That's what strikes me, is that the amount any one activity is so small, and it's so hard to track down all the data to put together the witnesses. You know, I mean, our criminal justice system, which is designed to protect the innocent, also sometimes lets an awful lot of crooks get out. Is there any sense of overhauling the EDD in a pretty dramatic way?
Well, I think that's probably a question best directed to the governor's office, but I think they have undertaken, obviously, a number of changes because of the outrage within the state over how could this happen and the sheer incompetence. I think they have undertaken a number of changes. Whether those are the magic bullet, I don't know. I know that one of the changes they have made is a system called ID.me, which helps to cut down on the number of fraudulent applications. But we're already getting reports that the fraudsters are figuring out how to go around ID.me and continue to submit applications and get the money. It's not like a battle, you know. The other side does something, we react.
So do you have any idea what a typical payment would have been?
The general numbers that we seem to see on an individual payout are in the $20,000 to $30,000 range because it would be multiple months and they paid retroactively from the time of submission and approval.
I mean, that's actually worth stealing.
Oh, yeah, for sure. This isn't chump change. Yeah, absolutely. Especially when you have no intentions of paying taxes on that money, and it's cash, and you can do whatever you want with it.
And somebody said that one of the differences, because in Washington State, the money literally was leaving the country, but in California, a very high percentage of it is going to criminals who are using it to buy illegal guns, to buy drugs, and to participate in human trafficking. I mean, do you get that sense when you're interviewing people and looking at how these cases are evolving, that it really does involve a level of criminality that, in effect, the taxpayers are subsidizing the criminals?
No question about it. We have had a number of wiretaps on narcotics investigations where we're picking up descriptions of exactly what you just described, that the EDD money is being used to facilitate the purchase of firearms and the transport and sale of narcotics and human trafficking. It's absolutely a piece of this.
So literally, if you look at the dramatic rise in crime rates and in murders and what have you, I mean, you have a system which is almost just spinning out of control.
It is a perfect storm in California right now. We have undertaken a massive social experiment in revisions to our penal system over the last several years. There are a whole lot more people out on the street right now who should be in prison or a county jail than are. So that's a piece of it. We have COVID, which has resulted in mass numbers of people being released from the state prisons and the county jails. For a long time, there were zero bail provisions in place across the state at the county jail level. And then we have people with way too much time on their hands and nothing to do. And now we have a means of funding criminal operations through this EDD money. And all of that has culminated in a dramatic, historic increase in the violent crime rate in the state of California, across the state, not isolated to LA, not isolated to the Bay Area, across the state in terms of homicides and shootings. There are consequences to policies, and those consequences are right now playing out in the streets of California.
Apparently, EDD identified 26,000 addresses that it said were linked to suspicious claims, but it only stopped payment to claims associated with like 10,000 of them. So the other 15,000 are suspicious, but they get the money anyway?
I don't have the particulars around what EDD did with respect to that. What I can tell you is that the financial institution which actually operates this for EDD is the Bank of America. When people are approved for unemployment insurance, they essentially get a debit card that is usable at a Bank of America where they can go get cash. So Bank of America is right in the middle of all of this. And one of the things that happened, this is a few months ago now, the Bank of America on its own sort of figured out something's going on here. And they put together what we call a suspicious activity report, which is a requirement under federal law for banks to report suspicious banking activities. They called it a super suspicious activity report. And what they looked at in terms of what they turned over to the FBI, which we coordinated through this office, only instances where five or more applications came from a single residence outside the state of California. So let me say that again. Only five applications from a residence outside the state of California. So anything inside the state, anything involving four or fewer outside the state. And that bucket alone was $5 billion.
Why doesn't the Bank of America have any responsibility?
They do. And at the end of the day, there will be some real issues with this. One of the problems that was identified was that EDD would get an application with a specific residence, approve it, and then whoever had submitted the application that was approved could then go to the Bank of America and change the address to which the debit card would be sent. So again, another failing of the system that was set up to handle all of it. There's just a lot of pieces to this. The Bank of America, they've got their own issues out of this whole thing, and there will have to be some accountability on that end as well.
Part of what makes it so relevant is that both in Washington State with Susie Levine and in California with Julie Hsu, the person who is in charge of $600 million and $31 billion in fraud, both have been nominated by Biden to major jobs in the Labor Department. How can that make any sense?
It makes no sense, and it's promotion for incompetence, and we've had enough of that. We've had enough of that here in California, and we've had enough of it at the federal government. Ms. Hsu, she in large measure owns this thing. There were policy directions given directly from her that in large measure allowed a lot of this to happen, and it is simply incomprehensible to me that she could now be essentially handed a great big promotion. So I don't get it.
I don't either. And I'm trying to get the appropriate members of the Senate to take a serious look at both of these people. This is corruption on such a grand scale, as I think you said earlier. California may be the largest theft of taxpayer money in history by a big margin. And yet the person who was standing there handing out the money to the crooks is now getting a promotion to go to Washington.
It defies common sense.
It may explain a lot of the energy and drive behind the recall petition that people after all just get tired of this many bizarre things. Now, I understand that you have a bridge analogy for all of this.
Yes, sir. The analogy I would use is that the EDD system in California is analogous to an antiquated bridge that is no longer sufficient to handle the volume of traffic or the size of the vehicles crossing over, but it limps along. And over the years, the structural engineers have looked at it and reported to the appropriate authorities that the bridge needs to be updated or at least perhaps even replaced. But the people in charge have chosen to ignore those recommendations. So then, when all of a sudden there is a surge in traffic, the bridge fails because it has not been updated, it has not been maintained, it has not been replaced. And that really is exactly what happened here in California. The problems with the EDD system have been called out systematically over the years through audits, through prosecutions, through any number of ways, and the state has simply chosen not to keep the bridge up to date. And so what that resulted in at the end of the day was, you know, the front door to the vault at Fort Knox was wide open and criminals walked right in and walked right out with the taxpayers' money.
I understand you're ending your term at the end of this month. What do you challenge your successor to do?
Here's an analogy I would use. I held this same position in the Bush 43 administration, and in probably the last 2 years of my time there, it was all mortgage fraud all the time. It was just a manifest thing that we were dealing with. And my successor in the Obama administration continued the great work that was being done in prosecuting those who stole money at that time. You know, this EDD fraud prosecution work is going to last long after I leave as U.S. attorney. And I am hopeful and confident that my successor in this chair will continue the great work. We've got a well-oiled machine that is hitting on all cylinders right now, and it is going to just continue to march forward in trying to bring accountability to these people who just simply stole from the taxpayers.
Remarkable. It's an amazing story. I really want to thank you for your public service and your willingness to tackle projects on this scale. As a historian, I'm pretty sure this will be the largest theft of public funds in American history. And if it wasn't for people like you, we still would not know about it.
Well, I appreciate that very much. And the credit really goes to the agents and the officers and the folks that are working these cases, these investigations, and my prosecutors. We're going to do everything we can and have been, and we'll continue to do so.
Thank you to my guest, McGregor Scott. You can read more about the $31 billion California EDD fraud on our show page at newsworld.com. On this episode of Newt's World, this is part two of our investigation into the amazing $31 billion unemployment fraud in the EDD department in California. As I look more closely at the estimated $31 billion stolen from California's EDD system, I was told that unlike Washington State, where the Nigerian cyber criminals took the bulk of the money, in California, it was a wide range of different kinds of criminals who took the money. I was shocked to learn there was a whole network of criminals in prison, not just in California, but across the country, who stole much of the $31 billion. I wanted to turn to somebody who has been studying this issue of EDD theft by prisoners and better understand how a fraud of this huge proportion could have happened. And I'm really pleased to introduce my guest, who's been one of the great courageous pioneers in taking on what may be the largest act of theft in American history. Anne Marie Schubert currently serves as the district attorney for Sacramento County, California. Anne Marie, thank you for joining me. And I want to start by saying, how did this first come to your attention?
Well, good morning, Speaker. Thank you for having me. It first came to my attention through a series of emails from other DAs across California asking a group of us, hey, is anybody seeing fraud in the prisons? And a district attorney up in Northern California who has a few prisons saying, hey, I'm seeing some fraud. Is anybody else seeing this? And then an inquiry started going out. And then we heard that another district attorney had charged some local jail inmates with fraud. And then I started kind of pushing the issue with McGregor Scott, who's our U.S. attorney. He represents the federal system for many counties. And that's when really, as I say it, the tsunami started to be recognized of what we are about to see.
Did it shock you both the scale and the degree to which the prisoners while in jail were being successful at stealing?
I think it was absolutely staggering. When we really started to dive into it and then we started getting the list, that, you know, we had waited for a period of time to get a list in return to a search warrant that was served on the Department of Labor. And then when we realized there were 35,000 claims just for the state prison population, once we got the list, I spent the weekend going through that list and I immediately started to look to see what types of people are we talking about here. And I focused in on, oh my goodness, there better not be people on death row here. And in fact, there were people, and many of them, obviously the death row population is the worst of the worst. But then when you started to look at the data, the magnitude was so overwhelming. And really the brazenness of it was just really despicable to see that how easy it was really shocked the conscience. I'm not sure we're ever going to know the amount, but it's going to be billions and billions of dollars that has been ripped off from the state of California.
Walk me through this for a second. You know, I'm sitting there on death row and I decide I want to steal some money. How do I do that?
There's a couple ways they do it, but I mean, unfortunately in our prison system, inmates get their hands on contraband cell phones. It's a big problem. The corrections department does a lot to try to stop it. They can either use what they call a wall phone. They have access to phones to call friends and families from the prison. They either use that or they use a contraband cell phone. And then what they were doing is they give their information, social security number, name, all that stuff to people on the outside. And those people on the outside filed their claims. And because this system was so inept and poorly managed, and the fact that people could backdate those claims, they had to just file these claims and they just filed the claim, said, oh yeah, I was working as of March 20th, 2020. And so then they would just have drop addresses, as we call them, so that many of them were fake addresses, PO boxes. There was really no oversight into making sure that these claims were legitimate. And so you've got hundreds, if not thousands, of claims being sent to one, as I call them, a drop address, an address that was just designed to be a place where they could have all these debit cards sent. So there's lots of ways that they're committing it. You know, they would ask their cellmates or they'd ask their other cohorts in prison, hey, give me your information, we'll get some money. And then oftentimes the inmates were conceivably getting what we call kickbacks. So money put on their books, packages sent to them to the prison through Amazon. Lots of ways they were getting chunks of this money, but the large amount of money was going to people on the outside.
Were those people just relatives or were they part of an organized crime system?
I think there's both. Some people call them like one-offs, meaning that, you know, one person says, oh, I'm going to get lucky here. And so my girlfriend does the claim for me. I think there's a significant amount that's being organized by prison gangs. And we know this from what's happening on the streets of California, that there's a link between all of this fraud and the massive gun violence that's occurring in our communities across California.
I mean, you're getting a very large increase in the number of shootings and murders, aren't you?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, really across the country, particularly in major urban cities, there's a significant rise in gun violence. And it's particularly true in California. What we're seeing on the streets now is that when people are getting arrested for gang violence, gun violence, drug crimes, there also happens to be EDD evidence in their possession as well. Unfortunately, in my opinion, this fraud has funneled the funds that they need to buy these guns and to perpetuate crime in our communities.
There are three examples that I find amazing. One is, isn't there one place in California, they got like 1,700 checks at the same address?
Yes. So the state auditor came out with a report a couple of weeks ago that was just blistering on how failed the system has been in terms of detecting it. And this has been going on for so long. And I honestly think if the DAs hadn't kind of blown this up, we'd be sitting in the same position today of fraud being perpetuated. But the state auditor found that there was 1,700 claims that went to one address, and it's just shocking, and it's probably millions of dollars without any oversight that went just to one address. And we know from the state audit that fraud was suspected of probably 500,000 claims being sent to 26,000 addresses.
The very fact that the system is so incapable of self-correction that it would send off 1,700 checks to the same address and not notice that that was probably not very smart tells you something about how bureaucratically incompetent the system is.
Yes. I mean, EDD has known for years. They actually had a system in place to do this cross-matching, and that was through a federal grant. That I think that grant was in 2013, but then they chose to shut it off in 2016 because they didn't want to have to pay the $2 million, apparently. And now we're sitting here with potentially $30 billion in loss.
So wait a second. So the system was costing $2 million a year?
So in 2013, I believe it was, EDD got a grant through a company that's now owned by Thomson Reuters. The company was called Pondera at the time, and they got a grant to do this fraud detection work. And then the grant ran out, which is typical, but the EDD chose not to continue any kind of fraud detection system at that time. So even though they knew, I mean, they did legislative reports telling them we need to get a cross match, we need to do this. So in 2018, they had a report to the legislature saying, oh yeah, we need to do a cross match. 2019, they had the same report. June of 2020, even after the pandemic started, they issued a report to the legislature again saying we need to do a cross match. And so they didn't do it. And then when it all blew up in November, when we blew the whistle on all of this, then they got the system in place. Now there's still significant gaps in the system. I will say they've made some significant improvements because of really what we've now discovered.
The other two examples were, if I remember correctly, Dianne Feinstein got an unemployment check.
There was a report to that. I think somebody was arrested by the U.S. Attorney's Office that had filed a claim under her name. I mean, that's the thing about it. You look at the list, and like I mentioned at the press conference, you know, you got a claim in the name of John Doe.
You would think that was fairly obvious, wouldn't you?
There was no system. It was just basically a rubber stamping. I mean, somebody in my office made the comment, it's almost like we just flew over the prisons and dropped all the money.
You have this system that's dealing with literally billions and billions of dollars, and they had two staff members who were reviewing claims manually.
Well, the problem was is they didn't have a fraud detection system like 35 other states did. And because they didn't have that, they were just, like I said, rubber stamping the payment of claims. And even if they suspected it, then they only had two people that would then have to go in and manually check these things. It was just a poorly managed system.
So, and in that process, you also had, if I understand it, people from prisons as far away as Florida applying for California unemployment.
Yes. I mean, when we started to realize that there were people sitting in prison in Florida, I think for murder, that they were making claims to the California system. It's not just bad enough that our own inmates are doing it, but now the out-of-state inmates realize California is the easy pickings. And, you know, that gap has not yet been filled. As far as I know, we don't have a system that's going to say, let's make sure that the inmates in other states are not fleecing the California taxpayers as well.
The scale of this is really large. You had a couple of comparative numbers in terms of how much bigger this fraud is than some of the operating systems of the California government.
To say a number, $30 billion, you have to really put that into perspective. And so when I started to put it into perspective, I said, okay, let's just compare it to our state budget. It's two times the budget of the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation, two times. We have 100,000 people in prison that cost, whatever, $50,000 a year to house them. And then you realize it's twice that. I mean, you can look at the education budget or you can look at transportation budget. Sometimes I sarcastically say, maybe we could have fixed the homeless problem with $30 billion.
I think you said somewhere that's half of the entire K through 12 education budget.
Staggering is the best way to describe it. It's staggering.
We went out and checked if you could take the $30 billion, you could eliminate all taxes in the five least expensive states in the country. Their entire budgets collectively are less than $30 billion.
Yeah, there's probably countries in this world that don't have budgets that high.
That's right. So it's really amazing. Is it now getting fixed?
Well, there's definitely, you know, efforts now to fix a lot of it. I mean, within a very short period of time, EDD had the contract now established to do the cross match. With that said, the state auditor has recognized that there's still some significant gaps. You know, not all jails do cross matching. So that's a big gap too. If I get arrested in a certain county in California, I could still try to fleece the citizens and the taxpayers. But I will say that I think that there's obviously immense pressure to fix these issues. There's still a long way to go. The amount of investigations and prosecutions that need to take place to hold these people accountable is astronomical. And the amount of money that's needed to do that is also astronomical, because we have to be able to investigate and prosecute them.
Well, does it strike you as slightly weird that given this scale of theft from her department, that Julie Hsu, who's the head of it, has actually been nominated by Biden for a major job in the Department of Labor? I mean, talk about being promoted upward through your failures. That's part of what really surprised me, is that the Biden administration, both taking Susie Levine out of Washington State, where there was $600 million in mostly Nigerian cybercrime, and then taking Julie Hsu out of California, where there's $31 billion, it strikes me that the administration is a little insensitive to the idea of taxpayers getting ripped off.
Well, I think without getting into the politics of any of these appointments, she's come out, I think, publicly and said, listen, we can't sugarcoat the problem here. It is a massive problem that's occurred here in California. And, you know, we have to be willing to acknowledge this if we're going to go fix it. But it is a massive issue. As much as some folks might want to blame the feds, really the blame rests with the state of California and the EDD department. You cannot sugarcoat this, and you cannot try to pivot, in my opinion, because this has been known. It's been known for many years. They had a system in place and they chose to shut it off because they didn't want to spend the money. That's the bottom line.
Was that system called ID.me?
Once the pandemic hit and ED started having, you know, major issues with backlogs and starting to see suspicious claims, Governor Newsom did this strike team thing with some recommendations. You know, unfortunately, there was nobody on that strike team that is a law enforcement that understands fraud. But one of the things that ultimately came out of that was this implementation of this thing called ID.me. Before this program ID.me was started, you could just do a claim. You didn't have to show proof of identification. So now when someone files a claim, you have to at least show your driver's license. I mean, I still think there's ways that the crooks get around it, but it is a system that will stop a lot of fraud.
Doesn't Bank of America play a major role in all this?
Well, Bank of America obviously has a contract with EDD, and they were the ones responsible for issuing the debit cards. And so there's been a lot of history about freezing cards, unfreezing cards. You know, the hard part is people need to not lose sight of the fact there are innocent people out there that are entitled to benefits that have lost their jobs because of the pandemic. And they're the victims because they're not getting their funds that they're entitled to. But then you also now have massive amount of victims who have been the victims of identity theft who are now getting federal 1099 forms saying you got to pay taxes on the money you never got. So there's a huge amount of people that have been impacted as a result of all of this.
That would really make you pretty irritated if you suddenly got a tax bill for a check you'd never received and then found out that actually the check had gone to a criminal.
Absolutely. I mean, I'd be furious about it. And then to find out that these criminals are using that money to perpetuate crime on the streets of California is even more of a gut punch.
To what extent have the district attorneys who've been elected with Soros' help, to what extent have they been willing to go after this, and to what extent do they just shrug it off?
Quite frankly, I'm not sure any of them have done anything. As soon as we realized the magnitude of this. The DA's Association created a statewide task force on this. I'm the chair of the task force. We've invited all elected DAs to be participants to understand how it works, to how to investigate it. I think you need to talk to George Gascon or Chesa Bodine from San Francisco and ask them what they're doing, because I haven't seen anything yet. Listen, we're never going to be able to prosecute all these people, but there is a population of them that are very, very violent criminals, that are members of gangs, that are perpetuating guns, drugs, violence on the streets, perhaps human trafficking. And those are the folks that every Californian should be concerned about, no matter where you live, no matter your politics. And, you know, I am very confident that it's occurring in Los Angeles County. It's occurring in San Francisco. We know it's happening in every jurisdiction in our state. And we can't just pretend like it didn't happen.
I think very few people realize how big the challenge is and how much money is involved now. And we've been talking to people at the Heritage Foundation who are tracking this, and they say there are smaller but similar problems in, I think, Maryland and Illinois and Louisiana. So it's there are at least five states that have had a significant amount of illegal claims and have paid out substantial amounts of money.
It all comes back to the failure of our state to have this system in place. We tout ourselves that California is the most technologically savvy state in the country. We're the biggest state in the union. Yet 35 other states, including very small states, have this system in place, and we chose not to do it. It's just a bitter pill to swallow.
I gather there are now plans to go ahead and implement a more sophisticated system.
The DAs are working with the folks from the governor's office and Office of Emergency Services to try to get some systems in place to try to, as I keep saying, to slow the spigot down and stop the bleeding here. So I definitely think we're on a good path. It's not perfect yet, and there's still significant gaps. We can't stop what happened in the past. We can only hopefully prevent it in the future.
At least it's a serious wake-up call about the need to have sophisticated systems, because you're now up against people who understand how to game the system if there's no check on it.
Yeah, it's a very, very expensive wake-up call is what it was. I just keep saying this. It's not just about the money that's been lost. It's the fact that we have basically allowed taxpayer dollars to fund guns, gangs, drugs, and whatever else type of crime on the streets of California. That, to me, is the most significant impact of this fleecing of California money.
Well, listen, thank you very much for taking this kind of time. And I really am grateful that you would help educate us on what's going on in the largest state in the country. And I look forward to seeing you sometime when I get a chance to come to California.
All right. Thank you, Speaker. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you to my guest, Anne Marie Schubert. You can read more about the $31 billion California EDD fraud on our show page at newtsworld.com. If you've been enjoying Newt's World, I hope you'll go to Apple Podcasts and both rate us with 5 stars and give us a review so others can learn what it's all about. Right now, listeners of Newt's World can sign up for my 3 free weekly columns at gingrich360.com/newsletter. I'm Newt Gingrich. This is Newt's World.